That's all I'll say, man. I want to thank all those brothers that went before me that participated in our services on this afternoon. We want to thank and welcome everyone on the call this afternoon that you have assembled with us in your homes to hear a word from the Lord. And so we want to look at this afternoon a subject that myself and Brother Brooks had discussed, and we want to look into the Word of God and bless us in these challenging times that we live in now. However, we want to speak from the subject, the benefits from God and the times which we are living. The benefits from God and the times which we are living. You know, we're living in a time, and we know we talked on last week about many of us, or some of us, are being asked to stay at home if we're not essential in the workforce. And we are staying at home. And so myself and Brother Brooks, we looked at what are some of the benefits from God in these times in which we are living. One benefit we can speak of, those of us that have families. Now we have families are at home and studying together. And if you're home right now on the call with family members, we have families that are hearing the word of God together. So that's a benefit that we have because of the times in which we are living. We find that some relationships, we talked on last week about the husband and the wife relationship, the parents and the children relationship can grow closer because they are spending more time together. Parents may be studying with your child in their lessons. Husbands and wives, times that you may not have had together. I know in my home, we and my wife are spending more time together because she's at home, and we are able to grow closer and help develop that relationship by being at home. We find from a congregational standpoint, that's from a family standpoint, but congregationally, we'll find that there may be those who would not be attending or worship in the building. However, you are on the call this afternoon. You're worshiping this afternoon when it may not have been your custom to return back to the building for afternoon service. However, because of the convenience and the times in which we're in now, you're able to hear another word from the Lord that hopefully will bless you in your walk with the Lord. Then, you know, it may be when this is over, those that would normally stay at home in afternoon service may be encouraged and motivated to not only participate in morning worship and afternoon worship. We have members that on Wednesday night, it was not your custom to be a part of Wednesday night Bible study, but now you are attending on Wednesday night the conference call that you would not necessarily come to the building. However, because of the times in which we are living, you are able to get on the call in the convenience of your home and get that Wednesday night Bible study. We do know, Brother Brooks and I have discussed how our numbers have increased greatly on the conference call on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday night, simply because of the time which we are living. We're at home, and we'll avail ourselves to study the Word of God. The Highland Heights congregation, we're known more in the brotherhood before this coronavirus had expanded. Myself and Brother Brooks was down in New Orleans at the National Church of Christ Lectureship. We both spoke at the lectureship. We both were asked to be participatory in the lectureship. So the congregation as a whole, there are brothers in the Church of Christ that know more about the congregation in Acres Homes because of the fact of the work we are doing and the soundness of the Word of God that's being preached from the pulpits and now through our conference call. And so the congregation as a whole is becoming known. Those that we have on the call today may be sharing with others about, well, you know, at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, the Highland Heights Church of Christ have their worship service, 3:30 in the afternoon. Not only that, they are concerned about the members' growth. So on Monday morning, 7 o'clock, they have a conference call. Tuesday at noon, there's a conference call. Wednesday, they have Bible study. Thursday night, we can invite non-members on the call at 9 o'clock to the conference call that we have. And Friday at noon, there's again another conference call. So we see that not only we are expanding our borders, if it be into the homes and the mind of others, and then we hope that calls such as this, messages such as this, will restore members when we come back and assemble again. There will be those that will be restored to the Lord. And then if you're on the call tonight, this afternoon, excuse me, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, our hope and our prayer that I'll share in the message that you will become as we are. You will understand what Christ did for you from the Word of God and how God wants you to be a child of His, how you become a child of God through obedience to the Word of God, specifically the gospel that one must respond to. And so having said those things about those secular family benefits that we have, let's go into the Word of God and look in the Word of God, and let's open up the psalmist writing in by David in Psalms, the 103rd division, in verse number 1 and 2. And let's look at the Word of God, and hopefully I'd like to encourage those that are note takers, take notes and write down and understand what the Word of God is saying, what these words mean in the Word of God, because sometimes we can read the Word of God, and if we don't get an understanding of what the word means, then sometimes it's a challenge to apply those things to our life if I don't understand what the word means. So in Psalms 103rd division, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." David says, he said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." He said, then he says, "I'm going to do it with all that is within me, and I'm going to bless his holy name." And we'll show that when we get to the New Testament. And then he said, again, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits." All his benefits. So we want to look at the Word of God and get an understanding of what David was saying back then, but how does that apply to us today as those of us that are Christians in the New Testament? Well, for that, let us look at Ephesians, the first chapter, and the verse is number 3. And we'll come back to Psalms 103 before we close on this afternoon. But in Ephesians, Paul, in his letter to Ephesians, he says something in the text, and I want us to get an understanding of what Paul was saying to the church. He said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God," he said, "to the saints which are at Ephesus," verse 1 and 1, "and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." He said, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's verse number 3, where we want to focus in on this afternoon, talking about understanding what the benefits from God are in the time that we're living. So Paul told them, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, notice now, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we see from the Word of God that Paul says blessed. Now, the first blessed is an adjective. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word blessed in the text means to express or state thanks to our love and respect for God. So we are to express and to give thanks to God and show love and respect for him. How do we do that? One way, in Hebrews 13, 13th chapter, and the verse is number 15. Let us see the first blessed that Paul told those Christians in Ephesus. In the Hebrew writer's writing, he says, by him, talking about God, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, notice now, giving thanks to his name. Remember, David had said, bless his holy name. So when we sing praises to God, we are giving thanks to his name by the fruit of our lips. And if you are listening on the call this afternoon and you are not familiar with congregational singing, you may be familiar more with choirs and drums and instruments, but we understand from the text in the New Testament, when they praised God, it was by the fruit of their lips. They did not use instruments to praise God. They didn't make sounds from their mouth that sound like instruments. They sung praises and gave thanks to God. So the first blessed is when we express or state thanks to our love and respect for God. And then Paul says, who has blessed us. So the second blessing is a noun. That is something that promotes one's well-being. Yeah, God has blessed us. God blessed those specifically in the church, and then God also blessed those that are outside. How do you see that? Well, in Jesus speaking in Matthew 5 and verse number 4, we'll see how God blesses. The word bless means to benefit us and our well-being. Notice Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, he says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Notice he said, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So everybody is blessed by God. Those that are just, those that are unjust, those that are evil, those that are good. God blesses our well-being by sending rain, allowing the sun to shine, to warm us up when they're during those colder months. God sends rain to not only water our yard, but also rain that we need for our nourishment. So God sends that down. So Paul, what he told them is that that other blessed is when God bless us. He says that God provides us with those things. And then Paul talks specifically about a blessing. He says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So now, these blessings, I want us to see this. There are three categories of people I want to speak to now that I want us to see that Paul talked about one group He says this group are those that are able to receive spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. So what are those blessings and who are those people? Well, in 1 Peter 3 and 12, we mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, 1 Peter 3:12, we'll look at those spiritual blessings that Peter talks about. He says in 1 Peter 3:12, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." So those individuals that are blessed are those that are righteous. Paul Peter refers to them. He says, "And his ears are open unto their prayers." So those individuals, that a blessing that God, the benefits of being a child of God is the fact that God's eyes are watching over you. God's eyes are watching over you. And not only that, that his ears are open unto their prayers. And so we find that not only is God watching, but also God's prayers, we're able to offer prayers. Look in Philippians 4 and verse number 6. When Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he shared with them in Ephesians 4 and 6, and these are spiritual blessings that only those that are children of God are received. Paul said to the Philippian church, church in Philippi, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing. We know we're living in a time period now that anxiety can build in all of us, but the encouragement from the Lord is to be anxious or careful for nothing. What do I do, Paul? He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So the child of God, if I know that God is watching me, if I know that God is hearing my prayer, then Paul said to the church in Philippi, let your request be made known unto God. So God is able to his ears are open to our prayers. And so if you are in the righteous, you are the just, God, hear your prayer. Pray to God. And not only that, not only does he listen to our prayers, but also Paul said, your supplications. And we'll find in verse number 19 of Philippians 4, you find what supplications are when Paul said, he said, but my God shall supply. Supplications are things that I need to be supplied to me. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So those benefits that I want, I can have because I'm a child of God. My relationship with God is upright. And so I can pray to God. I can ask God to supply me with those needs that I have. And Paul said that according to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus, God hears those things and is able to supply those things that we have. But I want to speak. As I move toward an ending, go back to Psalms 103, because in that lesson, not only that God take care of our well-being and our comforts in life and those things that we ask him for, but back in Psalms 103, the psalmist writer said, David said, notice now, he says, not only bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He also says, who forgiveth? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? The greatest benefit that God can give to any individual is to forgive him of his iniquities. Why is that so important, Brother Stroud? Because Jesus said, you turn your Bible to John 8:21, David said, he will forgive all of thine iniquities. And Iniquities is another word for sins. When I violate the will of God, I trespass the will of God, it's called sin. Because Jesus said in John 8:21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whether I go, you cannot come. No person can die in their sins and go to be with the Lord. That's why those of us that are Christians, we had our sin forgiven, that we became just, we became righteous, and now we have to do the best of our ability to try to live upright. But I want to share this afternoon, we may have some on the line that have not yet obeyed God in the obeying of the gospel, and I'll share with you what one must do in order to obey God, because not only you have three categories of people from the text that Paul said in Romans chapter 5, we'll find that there are three categories of people. You have those that are righteous, but also you have in Romans 5, 6 through 8, Paul wrote, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? The ungodly, turn to Romans chapter 1, are those that know of God and simply refuse to obey God. We have family members, we have friends that know about the Church of Christ. They know about God, and they know God's will. But notice in Romans 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of who? Of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And Paul said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. The things of God is known in them. But notice he said, for God has showed it unto them. There are those that know about God's will and simply refuse to be obedient to God's will. Those are categorized as the ungodly. You are simply not willing to obey God. You are living in your ungodliness and unrighteousness because of the fact you won't obey God. That's the ungodly. And then Paul says, for scarcely for a righteous man, we talked about the righteous, will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. And then the third category, Paul says, but God commanded his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There are some out there today that are not familiar. When you ask them what is the gospel, they cannot share with you those three facts of the gospel. That God loved us enough that Jesus Christ died for our sin, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. There are some that may not even know who God is. That's why it's the responsibility of the Church of Christ that we get the word out. We have this call on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, so people can know about God and know what God's expectations of them is in order to obey God. So the sinner may be one that don't know God. So what is it that I need to know about God? Well, we'll stay right there in Romans, the sixth chapter. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, if I'm outside of Christ, I haven't obeyed Christ, now God is showing me favor. God is allowing me to be on this call this afternoon. If you're on the call and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, then Paul asked the question, shall we continue in your sin, he says in verse number 2, God forbid. He said, how shall we that are dead, notice now, to sin, live any longer? So understand this, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus Christ died for sin. What you must do is die to sin. How do I do that? Verses number 3 and 4. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. What you must do, you've heard the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must believe that message, the gospel. And Paul said that in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 15, he talks about the gospel. Well, you must, you've heard the gospel. You believe it. You must repent of your sins, meaning turn from the life that you've been living and turn toward God, and then you'll make the confession that we find in Acts 8:37, that the eunuch, before he got baptized, he made the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make that statement, then you must be water baptized for the remission of your sins. And we find in verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So we have to imitate what Christ did. Christ died for sin. We died to sin. Christ was buried in a tomb. We're buried in a liquid tomb. The Bible refers to it in verse number 4 as baptism or water baptism, where a person is buried. You are dead to sin. You die to sin, and we bury you in water, and you rise up to walk in the newness of life. In other words, all thy sins, all thy iniquities, as Psalm writer said in Psalms 103, are now forgiven. Every sin that you ever done in life, the Bible tells us after a person rendered obedience, as David said, all he forgiveth all thy sins, all thy trespasses. They are washed away, Acts 22:16, they are washed away in water baptism. And so as we close on this afternoon, the benefits from God in the times which you're living, the greatest benefit, the greatest blessing anyone can have is to have their sins forgiven or remitted, and that's through one being obedient. And those of us that have already done that in Christian, our responsibility as we continue to study the Word of God is to try to live more upright to the Word of God and live more according to the Word of God. If you're a person that's on the call this afternoon and you've had family and friends to try to teach you the Word of God and you haven't been responding, don't be ungodly. Obey God and become a Christian, become a member of the Church of Christ. And if you're simply on the call and you're a sinner, you didn't know what you didn't know, now that you know, and you can change your state and become a Christian by obeying God, get with the person that invited you on the call and have someone to take you to the Church of Christ and have you added to the Lord's church. And again, the church is not the building. We are the Church of Christ, those that are members. The building simply is where we meet when time would allow to worship God. But again, God would add you to the church. According to Acts 2:47, you become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. And so I thank you again this afternoon for your patience, for your listening. If you have any questions, give us a call at Highland Heights Church of Christ regarding anything that was preached, and we will share with you more thoroughly God's word. I thank you again for the opportunity to preach God's word this afternoon.